Hey everybody, welcome back to Mad Props. This is an audio only vehicle, so if you're looking for the video, there is no video this week. I am on the road and we are going to do a throwback episode. We haven't done one of these since the 1st of January, so I thought it'd be nice to kind of do another one of these. Before we get started, make sure you follow us at Mad Props Pod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And follow Schnabel Studios on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, and subscribe to us on YouTube. The more subscribers, the better we can do and the more content we can push out. So definitely do that if you have the opportunity to do that. We just passed 500 followers on our LinkedIn, which is really cool. I mean, LinkedIn, we do post the podcast, but we really focus on video on there. But it's just cool to see how many people have come around and have been excited to be a part of our LinkedIn community. So thank you guys so much for 500 followers on Schnabel Studios and LinkedIn. And if you don't already, go give us a follow on there because we're posting some cool stuff and we're posting some articles here and there. And it's a good spot if you really want to dive into the Schnabel Studios world. You probably can hear it. I am exhausted today. It's been a long weekend and I still haven't even gotten out to my shoot yet that I'm going to. It is actually the morning of the shoot that I'm recording this because I wanted to make sure I got it out in time. We're gonna do the throwback episode with the infamous Mobb Deep. This was right before the passing of one of the members. And it was a really cool opportunity. I mean, obviously Shook Ones was a big part of when I was growing up, especially when I first got into hip hop. It's such a classic hip hop track. Obviously 8 Mile, it's the song that's used at the end of 8 Mile as well. It was just such a cool experience, and we got to do this one in person, which I don't these days get to do a lot of like face-to-face interviews. It's more of over the internet. So it was really cool to be able to get both of them at the same time in a venue. It was a really cool opportunity. They were really, really, really chill dudes. My friend Manny came. He was the audio assistant for me, as he's been a couple of times. I just get him into these cool opportunities sometimes. And actually, there's a funny story about this. When we met this guy who was a huge fan, and I mean, this, when I did this interview, I was maybe 21, 22, something like that. And this guy is just this huge fan. And he's like, I just want to be in their presence, basically. So he's a weird fan, but he wasn't that weird. We were talking to him for a while and he was just a chill dude. And he was just like, yeah, like these guys meant so much to me. And I just one day wanted to meet them, just shake their hand and say, thank you so much for helping me get through hard times and stuff like that. So I went in and I was like, listen, you come in with us. You sit there, you don't talk, you get a handshake, you get your two words in, and you get to take a picture, and then that's it. Like at the end, like we're there the whole time basically holding your hand, but like this is like when I was really trusting people apparently, because why would you do something like that? It can ruin the entire thing you have going on. But I did. I don't remember the guy's name. He came in. He sat there the entire time, didn't say a word, just listened to the interview very intensely. At the end, he got his picture, he got his handshake. And when we left, he was like thanking us so much for bringing him in. He was like, this was something I've been trying to do my whole life. He was probably in his 40s, this guy. And he was like, this is something I've been trying to do my whole life. It meant so much to me. They meant so much to my dad. It was just such a cool thing. Like you trust somebody, you're like, all right, we have to put all our trust into this guy and hope he isn't a weirdo or he's going to go in there and start freaking out or something like that. And he didn't. And it was a really cool opportunity. And then I thought about it later. I was like, wow, this guy's been trying to do this his whole life. And then, you know, one of them's not even with us anymore. So like if he didn't get that opportunity at that time, he never would have gotten that opportunity in his life. Because the guy died. Like there's nothing they could have done. So it was a really, I thought about that later. Like, wow, like not only did we let this guy do this life goal of his, but if he didn't do it then, he would have never been able to do it in his life. So That was crazy. That was really cool. So that's a little story from this upcoming interview with Mobb Deep from the university. No, sorry, not the university. From Toad's Place in New Haven, Connecticut. I believe this was in 2015, I want to say. Sorry, I don't have that off the top of my head. But so obviously if there's dated stuff, that's why. And really hope you enjoy. Just really quick for anybody wondering why we do these. I have a ton of interviews that are archived. And sometimes I just don't have all the time in the world to do a podcast every single week. So what I've decided to do is bring back some of these interviews for people to hear how we've progressed in our interviews, how we progressed in our craft, because, you know, these came out over 10 years ago, some of these, and to see where I was then and where I am now. Like, there's some cringy stuff when I listen, but I'm just like, it's all part of that journey. It's all part of that process to get to where you are today. So I like releasing these so we could see where we started and see where we are now and have them archived for people to go back and listen to some of these interviews that you really can't find anywhere else because they were over the airwaves of radio and stuff like that. And I just have, I'm lucky to have them archived for myself. So guys, enjoy. We will not be doing the Mad Props theme really, just we're gonna go right into the interview. So enjoy the pod or enjoy the interview. Let us know what you think. We won't be doing an end, so when it ends, it ends. Thank you guys so much. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. We really appreciate you being here. And enjoy Mobb Deep. We'll see you guys next week.
Hello and welcome back. I have some very special guests with me. When you think of hip-hop, this duo comes to mind as they've released some of the greatest rap albums that are on shelves today. Both can hold their own when it comes to lyrics and beats, but when you put these guys together, they can make a rap that'll put anyone under the table. Let's welcome the infamous Havoc and Prodigy of Mobb Deep. How are you guys today?
What up?
Thank you too, man.
Yeah.
So you guys are on tour. How's the tour been going?
Amazing, man. Just you know, getting out there, going overseas for the first time in a long time. It's been great.
We're non-stop touring all day.
Has it felt like, you know, it's been 20 years since Infamous come out? It's been over 20 years since you guys been in the game. Does it feel like it's been 20 years?
Man, not really, because this time be flying like crazy. So to me, it don't feel like it, but when I look back, you be like, damn, 20 years.
Yeah.
Saying that. So let's go back to when you guys were first starting up. What got you into hip-hop, and who would you say influenced you to get into the game?
Well, major influence for me was Run DMC, LL Cool J, you know, the Juice Crew, Jungle Brothers, Bismarck, like Kool G Rap. You know, those are the ones I was listening to. Ice Cube, Too Short, N.W.A. Cube is dope, man.
Yeah,
Cube got some of the most classic verses. Like,
yeah, I love Ice Cube. Yeah. I love his acting, though, too.
Yeah, his acting.
He's funny. He's a funny guy.
He's dope, yo.
He is a funny guy. What about you? What influenced you?
Man, you know what I'm saying? All they used to play was hip-hop around my way. So, you know, that's what I was just, like, kind of born into. You know, the artists that I used to listen to is the same artist that Pete mentioned. You know, Run DMC, Juice Crew, Big Daddy Kane, all these people. You know what I mean? And I just looked at the video, you know, same music video box back in the days, and was like, I could do that. And just started writing.
So how'd you guys come together? How did Mobb Deep
fall? We met back in high school, you know what I mean? Back in, I believe it was 1989. And we had mutual friends. And we was both spitting at the time. And you know what I'm saying? It looked like we could make a good group. And we just, you know what I'm saying, put it all together. You know what I mean?
Call yourself the Poetic Prophets. Why the name change, and how'd you come up with Mobb Deep?
The Poetical Prophets, that was like in a very beginning stages. We were still trying to figure out ourselves and figure out our style, and you know, the name, we wasn't really feeling that name. I don't even know how we came up with it, but we wasn't really feeling it.
Yeah, leave it to me to come up with the name. I admit it, I came up with it, but
it's, you know, a dope name, but it was like, it didn't fit us.
Yeah,
like,
nah,
you know what I mean?
That wasn't us.
It fit us in a way, but it was more to us than that, though. You know what I mean? So, Mobb, we used to always say, yo, if we see a group of people, we used to be like, yo, they mad deep, son, they mad deep. So we just took the two words, mob and deep, and put it together. Right?
When you think of hip-hop, Mobb Deep is right there with some of the biggest names.
Thank you, Lord.
Now you're on your 20-year infamous tour. Let's talk about that a little bit. What were some difficulties with making the album?
Difficulties? I wouldn't say that we had any difficulties making the album, really. You know what I'm saying? Our back was up against the wall. You know what I'm saying? We just had a prior release to that, you know what I'm saying, didn't do too well. And, you know what I'm saying, we didn't have no time for any difficulties. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We got with Loud Records and we went in there to do what we had to do. And we just did it.
Now, you guys had some, you've had some impressive names on your tracks. You know, we'll go back. You got Raekwon, Method Man, Ghostface Killah, Nate Dogg, Nas, just to name a few. Who went in, you heard the verse, and you guys were just like, wow, that's crazy how that just came out.
Well, Nas is definitely, you know, an incredible writer. So every time we did a joint with him, I was always like, you know, like, wow, his verses were always dope. But, you know, all of them, really, you know what I mean? Kool G Rap was one, too, man. When we did a song with G Rap, The Realest, on the Murder Music album.
Yeah, that was ill.
He bodied that verse. That was dope.
I almost want to go back and just redo my verse over. Like, you know what I'm saying? Every time I hear it, but, you know, it is what it is.
How many times do you guys say you would do that when you hear a verse, you feature on a track, and you're like, man, I can't get topped on my own track. I gotta go back and rewrite this.
Right.
That rarely happened. Like,
it happened to me all the time, rhyming with P. So, you know, I'm used to
it. You know. it was like rare though, like, cause everybody was killing it, man. It was just in that zone, like, you know what I'm saying. Everybody brought their A game.
There was a song, it came out last year. It had Busta Rhymes and Eminem. And there's a funny story behind it. Busta sent the song to Eminem, and then he sent it back.
Busta listened to it and got so mad because he said the verse was so much better than his that he punched a window in his car. Then he did it and sent it back to M, and then M did it and sent it back. It was like a 2-month thing.
Busta told me that story. Busta told me that story because he actually played it for me in the studio before it came out.
Crazy.
And he told me that.
It's just funny, like, he just back and forth, you know, so much goes into stuff like that.
Sometimes I feel like that, though. I felt like that sometimes, you know what I mean? Rapping with Nas and certain people. I'm like, damn, you gotta step it up, shine in the next one.
Alright, so Shook Ones Part 2. Everyone knows that song. Everyone that likes hip-hop, likes rap, they know that song. Even people that don't. It was in 8 Mile. Obviously, it was in the last Freestyles. It was a huge rap song. What was the process of making that song?
Man, Shook Ones. We had made Shook Ones when we had took our equipment from my crib in Hempstead, Long Island, out to Queensbridge for a little while just to change the scenery. And that was one of the songs we made while we was in Queensbridge. So basically that was just like, I think I was on the block one night with the twins, just chilling outside, little Hav boys. And we had went upstairs to check on Hav, like, let's go see what Hav doing. Went up there, Hav was making this ill beat, it was Shook on. He was like, yo, this is crazy. He was like, it's all right. You know, had mad humble. Like, he was like, it's all right, it's all right. You know what I mean? I'm about to work on some new shit, though. He was like, nah. That's the one right there, son.
Did anybody, when you made that, did anybody come up to you and be like, yo, can I get on that? Because it was such good beat. It's a great beat.
Nah, that was top secret. We, you know what I'm saying? We just was making shit for ourselves.
Nah, we ain't really playing for nobody.
Yeah, we wasn't throwing nobody on there.
Only people that really heard it was like our friends, you know what I'm saying? We would play it for them, see how they would react.
Last one here. When you look at hip-hop today, who do you really like, who do you dislike, stuff like that?
I mean, hip-hop today, it got a lot of new dope artists, a lot of whack artists, but it been like that.
Yeah.
Even back in the 80s, 90s, it was always like a lot of dope artists, a lot of whack artists, you know what I mean? It's just so much more oversaturated now, so now it's more whack artists, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy.
Right, and anybody could upload a song to YouTube and become a sensation with some bullshit, acting like a retard, like, you know what I mean? So
It's hard for a lot of our generation to get into the new music because we so used to what it used to sound like in our era. it's a difference now. You know what I mean? So
and change is inevitable.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? But it is hard for a lot of people to like accept it. You know what I'm saying?
And you got a new album coming off. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the new album is on its way. We've been working real hard on it. You know, we got been working with Alchemist.
Yes,
you know what I mean? Trying to do a whole project with him for the first time.
Yep.
So that's something different. But we're taking our time with it, though. We don't have no title for it or no release date or anything like that.
All right, thanks, guys, for joining us. It's been an honor interviewing you.
Word up.